Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. That's all I'm going to read right now. I said it a couple, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, you cannot preach Christ too high or man too low. I got a couple other things that some preachers wrote. Actually, two of them by Spurgeon and two of them by Isaac Watts. This is one by Spurgeon. You cannot slander human nature. It's worse than words can paint it. I like that. He also wrote this. This is also Spurgeon. A dark cloud in your sky is not a sign that the sun has lost its light. I like that. Because we're too prone to say, Lord, why have you left me? He didn't go nowhere. That's your problem. You know? Isaac Watts wrote this, acquaint yourself with your own ignorance. I like that. I do. Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. But the reason he said that was because we are. We usually are. The other thing he said, when a false argument puts on the appearance of a true one, then it is properly called a fallacy. Or as we call it, a lie. And as always, I say, your problems are, by definition and description, yours. The problem is never with God. The problem is always with us. But here, Isaiah writes this statement. And this has just hit me when I read it. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. The first word I want to pay attention to here is this word, actually the very first word, say. This is to be said. Now, I know it's not real complicated. It's very simple, but it needs to be stated. There are some things that need to be said. They need to be said out loud. Now, this is not just some random saying drawn from the imagination of man. These are the words of the Lord to Isaiah to say to the people of, what is it? Actually, Jerusalem and Judah in this case. In verse 1, it says that. These are the words of the Lord, and they need to be said. They need to actually be said. Understand, because this is kind of what made me think a little bit about this. Walter has told me this, and Earl told him that, and I will tell you this, if we haven't already. There's a lot of studying and reading and stuff that goes into a sermon. But you don't bring everything you studied to the sermon. Because it ends up being way too much detail and it takes too much time. Because not everything learned is said in every message. But this right here, according to the word of the Lord, this is to be said. This is to be said. This one thing. We are explicitly told to say this message. Isaiah is told to say this message, and he says, say ye. You say this. The one Isaiah is talking to, in this case, us. Say this. Say this message. Say ye, it's to be said by you if you know. Because those who know this message should speak. However, in this case, we who believe are explicitly told to say this message. This is the word of the Lord. Say ye. You say it. I say it. Isaiah said it. Why? Because the Lord said it. This is the word of the Lord. And then he tells us, say ye to the righteous. To the righteous. Here's the address to whom this message is sent. This message, let's be clear. This message is not for everyone. This is a message to the righteous. It's very plain. I know I'm not going to get real complicated or real theologically deep today. But don't have to, because it's plain. This is what the word says. This is a message to the righteous. Now, I know we are fond of quoting here and preaching here the truth that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's what we say. And the reason we say it is because that's what the scriptures state. I'm gonna look at it. I'm just going to basically read it to you. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written. And that's in the Old Testament. There is none righteous, no, not one. Then he continues, there is none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of knowledge and it's the beginning of wisdom. There's none in the natural man. This is the state of the natural man. There is none righteous, no, not one. Yet, right here, Isaiah, very clearly told to say in the word of the Lord, say to the righteous. So who's he talking to? Well, Isaiah is also very clear. I'll read this. This is Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So, who are the righteous? They are those whom God has clothed in the garments of salvation. They are those whom he has covered with the robe of righteousness. He's not talking about people who are possibly righteous in themselves, because there are none. That is true. But there are those who are righteous in Christ Jesus. He is our righteousness. Who are the righteous? Those whom God has chosen and saved. Who are the righteous? Those to whom God has revealed himself. And who are the righteous? Those who know and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. they are righteous, not in themselves, but in him. For he, Jesus Christ, is our righteousness. That's who this message is addressed to. Say ye to the righteous. Now you might say, hey, this is the Old Testament. Yeah, what about it? It is. Paul referred to Genesis 15:6, and he referred to it in Romans 4 and verse 3. He says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. By faith, the just live. And I will expound on that just a little bit. By faith, the righteous live. To believe the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe God. For he is God. He's God manifest in the flesh. To believe him, he is your righteousness. You have none of your own. He'll see to it, you know that. You might get ignorant and come to think you have some, but he'll show you you don't. The righteous are believers, Old Testament and New Testament, because the righteous are those who know Christ. In the Old Testament, they were looking for Christ to come. And here now, we are looking back, seeing that he had come and what he did do and what he's doing now. The righteous know, believe, and love Jesus Christ. They know God. They believe God. So that's who this message is to. Say ye to the righteous. So what's this message? I love this. It shall be well with him. I like that. God, I like that. It shall. You understand? There's no qualifier here. There's no description. There's no hedging your bets. There's no uncertainty. It's not a question. It's a flat statement, a declaration. There's no discussion. There's no exception. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. I like that. I like that. It shall. Not it might, not it could. It shall be well. I like that. I do. With them. Him. Them. It shall be well. What's that mean? It means it shall be good. That's what the word means. It shall be good. It shall be good with them. What a simple phrase and what great portents. Understand? Again, no qualifier. There's no word if in there anywhere in this statement. There's no but in this statement at all. It says, say ye unto the righteous, it shall be well. Now, I know a lot of people want to put the word if at the back of it. No. Say to the righteous, it shall be well. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. There's not, you know, it doesn't say if they don't backslide. It doesn't say it shall be well if you live right. I used to hear that repeatedly from certain people. No. What Isaiah says for us to say. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. If you want to, you just put a period right there. It shall be well. It shall be well with him. No matter what happens, and no matter what doesn't happen. Look where he put this message. This is the message of the Lord to the righteous. Look where he put this in Isaiah chapter 3. Read verse 1 here. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Say to the righteous, it shall be well. Verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. I'll continue on to verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. And with the righteous, it shall be well. It shall be well. Verse 8, right before this. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. I don't mean to make light of anyone's problems. We've been watching the weather this week with the floods and the hurricanes and the people are dying and all this other stuff. But right now you can say to the righteous, it shall be well with them, with them. With illnesses and surgeries, which we've got going and coming, it shall be well with him. With accidents and injuries, with the righteous, it shall be well with him. Even with death, with the righteous, it shall be well. It shall be well. I know it may not feel well, but it shall be. I know it may not look well, but it shall be. It shall be well. You know, we sang a little earlier, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathway all the way through. But God has promised. Strength is our day. Light when we labor, or light on the way, strength when we labor. God has promised it shall be well. With the righteous, it shall be well. I have to say it. Whenever I read a verse like this, I always automatically think it, so I might as well say it to you guys. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And by God, I don't care what normal man says anyway. It's not all good things. It's all things. It's all things. And this mess here that God is going to send Jerusalem and Judah through. And he did. And yet, right in the middle of that message, he stops to tell Isaiah, to tell us, to say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Though your country's conquered and you're going to be scattered, it shall be well with the righteous. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. Then we come to this next verse, and I was reading this to Deborah, and she worried about this a little bit, and I do too at times, but it says, they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. They shall eat. Let's be clear. They're going to eat. The righteous shall be fed. Matter of fact, in the Psalms, it tells us that God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Some place for you to eat. Right in the middle of your persecution. They shall eat. And then it says it. The fruit of their doings. So someone might say. You say there's no works in salvation. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said there's no works for salvation. And I meant that. But there are a multitude of works in salvation. Most of which are not yours. Well, let's get it this way. All of it's not yours. None of it's yours. You understand, salvation is free. Grace is free to me, but only because Christ already paid. Christ paid. Christ worked. Christ performed his Father's will, kept the law perfectly, and died the death so I don't have to, and you don't have to if you know him. There's works, but there's also works we do because of salvation. Not for salvation, because of salvation. Paul related to us, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Understand, you look at it, look at the scriptures. Look at Hebrews 11, okay? By faith, Noah built an ark. Wait a minute, that's works. Yeah, but he did it by faith. By faith, the gift of God. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith also, Abraham offered up Isaac. All of these heroes of faith worked because of salvation. And see, you understand, if it's true now, if it's true when Paul wrote it, that God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, if it's true now, it has always been true. Even in the, you wonder how these people in the Old Testament did some of the things they did. You know how? It's the power of God working in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh my. By faith, John, Peter, and Paul traveled and preached the gospel, and other apostles. And some were given to be martyrs, killed for the faith of Jesus Christ. They shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Say ye, to the righteous, it shall be well with him. They shall eat of the fruit of their doings. And I'll just read Psalms 23 and verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Here, my cup runneth over. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. Your cup runs over, whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you feel like it or not. But then I can't stop right there, because you have this in the middle here. Say ye to the righteous, and it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And it says this, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. You understand? I don't want to be judged according to my works. Because here's the thing about the wicked. You understand? These are two different sayings in two different verses, but they're one right after the other. And they're both in the word of the Lord that God gave to Isaiah. They're both Lord's words that Isaiah was supposed to give to us, and he did. Both of them are true, and both of them are in the same message. Say ye to the righteous, and say ye to the wicked. They're both there. The righteous are those whom God hath clothed in the garments of salvation, and covered in the robe of righteousness. The wicked are those whom God has not clothed and has not covered. I don't have to go any further than that. You understand? There's lots of people, well, they're child abusers and they're murderers and they're adulterers and they're drunks and they're foreigners. They might be. But the chief difference between the righteous and the wicked is one knows God and the other doesn't. And the reason the ones know God is because God clothed them. They didn't clothe themselves. They didn't cover themselves with the robe of righteousness. No, God clothed them in the garments of salvation, and God covered them with a robe of righteousness. Salvation is of the Lord. And the wicked are not. The wicked may or may have not done some horrible things. God knows. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some that fit this description of the wicked that are sitting in churches right now. I used to be one of them. I used to be one of the wicked. I didn't know God. And as far as you could tell, I wasn't any different than anybody else. As far as I know right now, I wasn't any different than anyone else. The chief wickedness of man is this: to reject Jesus Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have it. I was that way. The world still is. The only ones who have bowed the knee to Christ right now are those that he has made to bow the knee to him. He has revealed himself to them. He hath clothed them in the garments of salvation. He has covered them with the robe of righteousness. He is the one who is righteous, not us. The chief wickedness of man is this: you put your will above the will of God. That's what you want to do. It won't work. You can't do it, because God will still have his will and his way. He's doing all according to his own good pleasure right now. But we try. We try. But here's the message. There's always good news. There's always good news for the righteous. For the righteous. It may not seem that way, but it's true. There's always good news. The Bible is filled with good news. But I have to say, the good news is not for everyone. There's always good news for the righteous. There's always good news for the children of God. Those that are in Christ Jesus, know Christ Jesus, and believe Christ Jesus, right now, they are the sons and daughters of God. And therefore, now, there is no condemnation in them that know Christ Jesus, and them that love God. Say ye unto the righteous, it shall be well with them. You may not feel it right now, but it shall be. It shall be. No matter what you feel or how you feel or what you're going through, there is always good news for the righteous. There's a psalm where it says, 1,000 may fall beside you, 10,000 may fall by your right hand, but it's not going to come nigh thee.